order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And you say, well, why do you have David on every month? Well, because the Constitution is seminal and foundational to the preservation of our freedom. And the trouble is most people really don't understand it or understand why, of course, we have the problems we do today. Certainly 120 years ago when Mark Twain went on speaking engagements across the country, he loved to lampoon Congress. One of his favorite statements was, fleas can be taught nearly anything that a congressman can. Fleas can be taught almost anything a congressman can. The smallest minds and the selfish souls and the cowardice heart that God makes. And of course, then he goes on to say that talking about the fact that there really, of course, is only one distinctive criminal class in the United States, and that's members of Congress. And everybody laughed. Why did they laugh? Because 120 years ago, why people realized that there was an awful lot of corruption in Congress. Not that we don't have some good congressmen, but the vast majority of them are violating the oath they've sworn to uphold our Constitution. And they're there for personal aggrandizement and because they like to be the honorable so-and-so. And because, of course, they can trade favors and they can end up being very, very wealthy. Remember when Lyndon Johnson went back to Congress from Texas. He was elected. He didn't have the money, actually, to take the trip. He had to borrow money to get to Washington, D.C., and when he left Washington, D.C. 30 years later, he was one of the wealthiest men in all of Texas. So, and he didn't make that, believe me, on a congressman's salary. It was all bribes and corruption. And that's Lyndon Johnson who gave us Medicare, and now we see Obama wants to give us the Kevorkian health plan. Well, I think it's about time that people understood that the reason America survived with all of the avarice and selfishness and dishonesty and corruption of Congress and our bureaucrats is because we have a Constitution that limits the power, or at least limited the power of the government over the lives of the people. That is no longer true because the people are not getting up and demanding the people that are elected to Congress and swear an oath to uphold the Constitution actually uphold it. David, you pick up the story from there.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's been interesting the past month here talking to a number of people who are preparing themselves to go speak at a town hall meeting and challenge their congressman, and I encourage them in that. And one of the questions that has been asked to me several times is, how do I come back at the answer? I know what they're going to say. When we say this whole health care business, it's no business of the Congress. Congress nowhere in the Constitution is authorized to spend a penny on health care. The congressman will come back and say, well, wait a minute, the General Welfare Clause of Article 1, Section 8 permits us to spend, to tax and spend for the general welfare, and certainly the health of the people, et cetera, is the general welfare. And my response to several of those folks is that you need to read what the one who crafted much of our Constitution, who's often called the father of our Constitution, James Madison, wrote in Federalist Paper number 45, very clearly. The design for our federal government was extremely limited. He says in the third to the last paragraph of article of Federalist Paper 45, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former, that's the federal, will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, foreign commerce, with which the last powers of taxation will for the most part be connected. The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which in the ordinary course of affairs concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state. So if anybody, according to our constitutional framers, if anybody had the power to deal with health care, it was state governments and not the federal government. Personally, I don't believe health care belongs in the business of any government, whether state or local. But it's very clear our framers did not use that term general welfare to mean the federal government could do anything it bloody well pleases. And yet that's exactly how the courts have interpreted the Constitution these days, and that's exactly how the executive branch and the legislative branch have been acting for years. So it's about time Americans got very upset and right in the faces of their senators and their representatives telling them in no uncertain terms, if you vote for any of these unconstitutional things, we're going to throw you out on your ear in a very, very quick hurry. So listen to us carefully. Don't vote for any health care bill. Not tinker with the bill, but no health care bill, because it is not permitted for you as a senator or a House of Representatives. It's not permitted for you to do such a thing. To do such a thing is to violate the Constitution. And so, as we said, I think last month we spent some time studying Article 1, Section 8, because that list of 18 things is the only 18 things our federal government is permitted to do. They cannot do anything off that list without breaking their oath of office, without violating the Constitution. I was talking with a group that is going to be teaching a group of homeschoolers this, and they were very encouraged when I heard people when I said that people ought to memorize, or at least memorize the subject matter of each of those 18 things in Article 1, Section 8. And this gal said she was going to take up that challenge, and her class was going to memorize it verbatim, Article 1, Section 8, so that they could hold their elected officials accountable. And that's very encouraging, Dr. Stan, to hear people saying, I need to know the Constitution, because unless I know the Constitution, I cannot possibly do my job as a citizen and hold my elected officials accountable, as people are beginning to do or attempting to do in these town hall meetings around the country these days. Well, the next section of the Constitution, we looked at Article 1, Section 8 last month. Article 1, Section 9 deals with limitations of congressional authority. In other words, Section 8 deals with here's the 18 things they're permitted to do. Section 9 says these are the things that Congress is not permitted to do. The first on the list is that Congress could not forbid the slave trade any time before 1808. In other words, 20 years after the approval of the Constitution and its ratification. And the reason being is all of our founders knew that the slave system really was an inequitable system. It did not acknowledge the rights of the slaves as human beings that were created in the image of God, created equal like all other human beings. And so they knew it needed to be abolished, but you could not abolish slavery quickly. What would you do with all these people? They had no jobs, they had no homes, they had no place to care for them. So the system they saw in their day was basically dying of its own economic inefficiency. And they believed that slavery would be phased out on its own. The economics were moving against it, and the factory systems and so forth would quickly replace it. Well, they were wrong. They had no idea that the invention of the cotton gin by one of my relatives would change the whole scenario there, and all of a sudden cotton would become king and very profitable, and the slave forces would increase to bring in that crop. But they're forbidding this congressional action is a good illustration of what our founders knew. They knew that you just cannot let Congress do anything it pleases. You need to draw a very clear set of boundaries around its powers. Well, the second thing on the list of limitations in Article 1, Section 9 is that the Congress cannot suspend habeas corpus except in emergency. Well, what's habeas corpus? It is an ancient English right, a God-given right, that you can demand of the government if they arrest you, if they put you in prison, demand of them by a writ of habeas corpus that they identify the specific law that you are charged with having violated and that they present a very clear process for a speedy trial to take place. In other words, government just cannot arrest anyone they choose, throw them in prison, throw away the key as a political prisoner. That is not permissible.
Well, of course, George W. Bush didn't understand that, and he put an American citizen in prison and tortured him for 6 or 8 years before they took him to trial. His name was Padilla. Well, we never talk about him. It makes us feel uncomfortable. We'll be right back.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 19, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $933.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $960.23, $480.11 for the half ounce, or $240.06 for a quarter ounce. That's $960.23, $480.11, and $240.06.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you one of the millions of sinus and allergy sufferers? Is your nose stuffed up? Do you experience sinus headaches, allergy symptoms, infections, or post-nasal drip? Does your treatment improve your body's disease-fighting function, or are you simply treating the symptoms? The Sinu Plus Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System effectively cleanses your sinuses and upper airwaves of all fungi, bacteria, and pathogens, and clears your sinuses gently and pleasantly. Recommended by leading physicians and healthcare professionals for sinus and allergy symptoms, the Sinu Pulse Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System is a natural, very gentle, and soothing drug-free device to relieve symptoms caused by sinus infections, allergies, and the common cold, including post-nasal drip, cough, congestion, sinus headaches, and irritated nasal passages. SinuPulse is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest this afternoon, David Whitney. We're talking about the Constitution. We're talking about the 45th of the Federalist Papers. You should read it. You should find out what James Madison, who was really the author of the Constitution in many ways, said. The power of the central government is to be limited and defined. The power of the state government was to be unlimited and ill-defined, and matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be handled there, but the power of the central government was to be limited. Well, there have always been fascists who wanted an all-powerful government, and little bit by little what they've chiseled away at these ideas. They never teach this in our schools. The great tax-exempt foundations have funded our universities to take the ideas out. Why? Because, of course, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Fords were all deeply involved in the occult. They all wanted eventually to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. They funded the communists, and what did the communists and socialists and Marxists do? They want to centralize all power in Washington, D.C. The ultimate goal will be a mockery of our form of government, which is what exists today. And there's probably not one person, maybe two or three of all of our congressmen who've ever read the Federalist Papers and understand the foundations of our Constitution, which is why programs like this are so important, and why the Institute on the Constitution, that, of course, us David Whitney works with, is so vitally important, and why they put on the programs and why the programs are available for you out there to learn the Constitution and help educate people across America about the source of our freedom. David, pick up the story.
Thank you. Yes. So Article 1, Section 9, further limitations on congressional authority. They cannot suspend habeas corpus except in emergency, which is assumed to be war if there is an invasion and so forth. But it's very clear that it's only Congress that has power to do this in case of emergency. That is, the other two branches of government, the judicial branch nor the executive branch, have any authority to suspend habeas corpus. Yet the two times in American history that it has happened, it's been the executive branch, our 16th president, suspended habeas corpus illegally, and our 43rd president said basically they can suspend habeas corpus with anyone they deem to be dangerous or they deem to be an enemy, which is a pretty broad definition. And so our 44th president, although the question, very serious question whether he's legitimately president or not, but he has not suspended that in any way, shape, or form, which means it still stands, the Military Commissions Act, which says that habeas corpus can be suspended for any individual American, any citizen, if the government just doesn't like you. The government doesn't like what you've got to say. The government doesn't like your thinking patterns or whatever it is. They can declare you an enemy, strip you of all your God-given rights and the rights secured by the Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh, and Eighth Amendments in our Constitution. Well, going on to the third item of limitations on congressional authority, it limits the kind of bills that Congress can pass. They cannot pass a bill of attainder. This may not be a familiar term with most people, but a bill of attainder is basically a legislative finding of guilt. That is, if the Congress were to act as a court system, be judge and jury and so forth, and make a determination of guilt and pass a bill, a piece of legislation that said Joe Schmo is guilty of having done whatever. Now, they cannot do that. That's for the other branch, the judicial branch, to do the court functions of the federal government. The only time they function in this fashion is when impeachment is to take place of an elected official, and the House then finds a bill of impeachment, specific charges against the individual, and then the Senate actually holds the trial to determine guilt or innocence based upon the list of in the charges of impeachment. So it is never permissible outside of the impeachment process for the Congress to act as a courtroom and find a legislative finding of guilt. Another thing under this heading that it cannot do, it cannot pass ex post facto law. That's Latin, just basically means that a law cannot be retroactive. That is, suppose a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit were imposed retroactively, that is, on a road where you could travel 65 today, tomorrow a law is passed that said, no, that road is 55, and everybody traveling the day before we passed that law at 65 miles an hour was breaking the law. Well, of course, this makes common sense. Why would you ever pass a law that made it illegal to do something and then make it retroactive so everybody who did those actions beforehand, knowing that they were lawful actions on their part, now are charged with having committed a crime? So no ex post facto law can be entered by Congress, and this would include a law punishing a person for an act that was legal when they committed the act. It also includes the idea of raising the status of an offense. That is, an offense might be a misdemeanor today, and tomorrow Congress passes a law and said, now that law is crime is a felony, and anybody that's committed that crime retroactively is going to be charged on the level of a felony rather than a misdemeanor. They cannot raise the standard, raise the status of an offense, and make it retroactive. If you are charged with having committed a crime, when you committed that crime, that supposed crime, the law as it stood at that time is the law that is brought into court and that you're going to be charged with and dealt with, even if it includes a penalty. So they can also not increase a penalty for a crime retroactively. They can always do it going forward, but never going backwards, never retroactive increasing the penalty for an offense. And another aspect of this is they cannot pass a law to make to change the rules for evidence to convict someone of having committed a crime. If on the date you committed this crime, the rules for evidence as they existed in the law on that date are the rules for evidence that will be used in your trial. They cannot make that retroactive either. So all of these things are basic fairness, that the legal system must be one in which the citizen knows where they stand and they know what they would be charged with if they do a certain action that's against the law. Now, Dr. Stan, you know as well as I, one of the egregious violations of this principle in our day is that the amount of law that supposed Americans are required to know and required to obey is absolutely impossible. If from the very moment you were born, you could read and you read day and night, nonstop, never slept, and you reached the age of 100, you still would not read through all the federal laws that you're required to know and required to obey.
And I think the perfect example of that would be all of the nominees that President Obama had, you know, for various key positions in government, where these people just forgot to pay their taxes. And Timothy Geithner, who today is in charge of the Internal Revenue Service because he's Secretary of the Treasury, he just forgot over a number of years to pay the income taxes on the money he actually was paid by the International Monetary Fund, so he could pay those taxes. So he got a salary, he got the money to pay the taxes with, and he still didn't pay the taxes. And he just said, oh, shucks, it was my tax program, TurboTax. They're responsible. Well, if we have people in government who don't believe in our laws, how can we expect the people to believe in the laws? And if Obama is going to appoint this sort of corrupt people to office, why, of course, we have basically certainly a dishonest government, and of course what we're going to see is more and more people avoiding the laws. What we need is people who fear God and government. I fear that President Obama nor Timothy Geithner really fear God. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country, the economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lays Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at LaysMedInc.com. That's LaysMedInc.com today.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-pay to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Pastor David Whitney. David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can take that program on the Internet, and then, of course, certainly why they should set up a study groups in their community to educate fellow Americans about the Constitution. And, you know, I really think it's so interesting that despite the fact that you have branches in every state in the Union, that people all over the country are learning about the Constitution, not one word of this in the controlled media. They're not attacking you. They're totally ignoring you. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn that there really is a means to understand the Constitution and to try to restore it, because the people in positions of power hate the Constitution because it limits what they can do, and they're doing it anyway, but they're the lawbreakers, they're subversives, and they should be tried certainly for their crimes against the Constitution that they have sworn an oath to uphold. Go right ahead, David.
You're right, Dr. Stan. I was talking with someone today who, listening to your shows and our interviews, has decided that they ought to get a copy of the Constitution, and they said they were surprised. They thought it took a constitutional attorney to understand what the Constitution said. They said, oh, this is a lot simpler than I thought it was. And that's the lie that's out there, that nobody but the real experts, those who've attended law school and spent many, many years studying, can understand the Constitution. No, the Constitution was written for every citizen to understand. And our program we put together is called a host kit, because it gives you everything you need to host a class, to host a course on the Constitution. 12 lectures, half-hour lectures by constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, 2 lectures by David Barton, a student notebook with a full outline of the entire course, host manual to describe how to conduct the course with all the answers to each of the test questions there, everything you need in this kit so that you can train your fellow citizens and train your family, your friends, and those who go to church with you. You can train up a band of people who can take our country back from these unconstitutional lawbreakers who are in power. And it's not difficult to do. Anybody can do it. You can take it in any group of people and conduct a class like this. We encourage people to go to our website, which is iotconline.com. Our Institute on the Constitution website is iotconline.com. And there at the very top of the page, you can click the button, order a host kit, see the contents, and order it online. We also offer, Dr. Stan, an ability for people to take the course online. If they have broadband access in their computer, the ability to watch videos, streaming videos, they can also go to our website, iotconline.com. Sign up right there at the top of the page to take the online course, and they'll watch the videos and take the test. And once they do that, we encourage them then to get a host kit, because they need to gather a group of people together. They need to get this into the hands to as many people in their circle of influence as they possibly can. Now, we know some people would prefer to order over the telephone, and so our toll-free number here at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And now's an excellent time to get a host kit. I know I've talked to a number of people this month who are getting their materials together, going through the course themselves in preparation for a class they're going to be conducting this fall. Some are doing it in their churches, some in their homes, some in community kind of centers all over the country. These groups are meeting, and many of them starting up in September as people's summer travel schedules come to an end, and beginning to train people up in an understanding of these vital things, because we can take our country back. We can take it back if we understand the Constitution, and then we are willing to act on that understanding by holding our elected officials accountable, or better yet, only voting for somebody you know will do the right thing, will abide by the Constitution. And on our website, if you query in the question box, is your elected representative competent? Is your elected representative competent? You can take any one of those words, and you'll come up with a list we've designed of questions that you can ask anybody who is running for office or anybody who's in office, maybe even a town hall meeting. You can ask them these questions, and you can quickly discern if they understand anything about our form of government, if they understand anything about the Constitution. In other words, are they qualified to actually hold the office that they're either running for or the office they currently hold? Well, back to Article 1, Section 9 of our Constitution, the limitations placed upon Congress. Not only can't they pass these bills of attainder or ex post facto law, the fourth item is that they cannot tax directly except in proportion to the census. Now, this is called a capitation tax, maybe a term that they're not familiar with, but we all know what decapitation is, take off someone's head. So capitation tax is a tax upon the head. That is, the federal government was not permitted by our Constitution to ever have the power to directly tax individuals. Instead, the tax was to be apportioned according to the census. That is, every 10 years, a census is taken, and it's determined how large the population of one state is versus another state. Let's say Maryland's about 5 million people, and I don't know, just pick another state, say Illinois or something is 10 million. So the tax bill that Maryland as a state would receive would be half the size of the tax bill the state of Illinois would receive, because it's by proportion. You can never do a direct tax, a capitation tax, on an individual if it is a proportional tax. And so they designed the system very, very wisely that it was going to be the state government that actually was the tax collector. There would be no IRS. It would be the individual states that would have to determine how they were going to raise the funds that they were going to use to pay the federal tax bill that that state was obligated to pay. And they did this because they know if you ever give power to the central government of taxation directly upon the people, that taxing authority will become tyrannical and will become oppressive, all the things that we see that the IRS is today. And they knew if you kept that at the state level, the people have a far better ability to keep their state taxing system in check, particularly when the state legislature could appoint, and did appoint up until the 17th Amendment, did appoint its senators, which means the state legislature could stop any taxing bill, it could stop any spending bill dead in the water through the senators. They could say, we're not going to vote for this. We're voting against it because we don't want to go to our own people in our own state and have to raise money to study the flight of a Frisbee or some other ridiculous pork barrel project. And that was destroyed when the 17th Amendment swept in. And so direct taxes are prohibited by our Constitution. Now, some people say, David, the 16th Amendment changed that. No, it did not, especially if you look at the Supreme Court cases immediately following that. You'll find that the Supreme Court clearly stated that no new taxing power was given to the federal government by the 16th Amendment. The Supreme Court understood it. The legislative branch understood it. The executive branch understood it. But since that time, it has been forgotten and a tyrannical system has been imposed that's completely unconstitutional. Now, my caveat is I'm not telling anybody not to pay your IRS or fill out your IRS form, because that's a battle that I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that battle cannot be won on the level of just focusing on the 16th Amendment or just focusing on the IRS. The whole system has become corrupt. We have to have a reformation of the entire system to return it to the constitutional limits designed by our founders. Unless we do that, doesn't matter how many individual battles we might win with the IRS, in my opinion, because the whole system still remains broken and corrupt. We need to return the whole thing to its proper boundaries. Well, Article 1, Section 9 continues in this item, that no tax or duty on items exported from the state. See, one of the problems that occurred under the Articles of Confederation, which is really the first constitution we had in our country, is that states were treating other states as foreign nations. And so if you produced a widget here in Maryland and you wanted to sell it in New York State, well, New York State was going to charge an import tax, or your own state might charge an export tax. And our founder said, this is very detrimental to business. We don't want to do that. We want to create a free trade zone between the states that are part of this union.
Okay, we're out of time. Hold that thought, David. We'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Genesis. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button, and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft, visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute on the Constitution. David, go right ahead.
And so the fifth restriction on the limitations of congressional authority is no tax on duty or duty on items exported from one state. And related to that, and the rest of these really do relate to that, is that no preference for local ships or ports over others. In other words, that they wanted a fair and free trade zone within the states that belong to the Union under the Constitution. They were not talking about any free trade zone with other countries. They actually prescribed tariffs. And by the way, the federal government operated its entire budget on tariffs up until 1913 with the egregious changes that took place there under Wilson's administration. But up to that point in time, other than a brief time during the War to Defend Southern Independence, during that all those years, it was tariffs from goods imported into our country that funded the entire federal budget. Of course, the federal budget was small because the government was following and obeying the Constitution. It didn't need a huge amount of money to do the limited things that it was designed to do by our founders. And so they wanted a level playing field, both for the states that did not have any water, that were not did not have a port of their own, as well as the states that did. So no preference for local ships or ports over others. And seventhly, no money drawn from the Treasury except by appropriation of Congress with regular public accounting. And wow, yikes, today that's a laughing stock. The spending of Congress, although they might make it by smoke and mirrors appear to be accountable, we know is quite another thing altogether. For example, completely running through all the money of the Social Security's supposed trust fund. There's no money there except worthless IOUs from Congress, and that's just one of many examples that could be cited, how this element of restricting congressional authority to spend money only on money drawn from the Treasury by appropriation. This has been gotten around with illegal measures that, again, Congress should be held accountable, and these unconstitutional actions should be punished, and those who have committed them should be removed from office by impeachment or by the ballot box. And then, eighthly, the final thing in the list of limitations is no title of nobility. Now, the concept here was very clear, the concept expressed in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. And so a person's birth and their parentage should not give them special privileges or advantages, which is what titles of nobility always do. When the king knights someone, he gives them some special privilege or some special advantage that another person does not have. And our founders saw the great devastation this brought about in England as well as in the colonies early on, that when you grant special privileges, and often these special privileges were monopolies. That is, someone got to run a business in a certain way that was privileged that nobody else did. And so that person obviously would become more powerful and wealthy than other individuals, as a lord or a baron or an earl or whatever position it was in the pecking order of the old world. And they didn't want that. In fact, they recognized that that was an impediment not only to justice, because there'd be two standards of justice, but it was an impediment to economic growth. Because whenever you have a monopoly, you have a built-in inefficiency, and the market is not able then to respond to those who are producing goods in the appropriate way that would mean that most people benefit from exchange of goods. The other thing that we see is that, in a sense, in our society, there are titles of nobility that are not exactly what our founders would have originally identified as titles of nobility. What it is Congress, both the House and the Senate, say that they're not to abide by the laws that the rest of us have to abide by, that they have their own health care system. You know, there's been several attempts here to make them put themselves under this health care system they're proposing for the rest of us. Everyone has been defeated every time that has been attempted, because Congress sees itself as above the rest of us. Different health care system. Oh, a very cushy retirement system, unlike anything we have available to us. And so on it goes. And so often what you see, and you mentioned it, Dr. Stan, earlier, that with Timothy Geithner, here's somebody that's been treated like a nobility. Oh, yeah, he gets away with a little, not even a slap on the wrist for breaking the law. You or I do the same thing that he has done, and we'll be fine the rest of our lives if not go to prison for it. Why is there a two levels of justice in society? That was what this was striking against, and we see the violation of this principle every day in what Congress itself does. Now, as we shift from Article 1, Section 9 to Article 1, Section 10, this is the interesting part of our Constitution that places limitations upon states' authorities. And so it's stepping beyond just what limits Congress and saying states cannot do certain things. And these are all make very, very clear sense when you look at them. First, a state may not enter a treaty or alliance or make confederations with other countries. That's the whole purpose of having a federal government, that we are united in making treaties with other countries, united in making alliances or confederations. Secondly, states may not grant letters of marque and reprisal. Many people are unfamiliar with it, what that means. It's a private way in which to solve a tax upon your country, attacks that are not from a government declaring war on your country, but individuals, terrorists, or other individuals that have broken the law of nations. The way to deal with that, according to our founders, was to grant letters of marque and reprisal, whether at sea or on land, allowing privateers to go and attack the individuals committing the crimes and profit from it. That's why they're called privateers. And so this was something only the federal government was permitted to do, because it is not the full step of declaring war, but it is dealing with an outside power that needs to be dealt with in a warlike fashion.
That's what we should have done with Osama bin Laden. Exactly. Rather than going to war with Afghanistan, we should have certainly, he was responsible, we're told, we don't really believe it, but he was responsible for 9/11. Therefore, use mark and reprisal, get the privateers, go after him, get him, and we pay them when they bring him back dead or alive. George Bush promised to do it, he didn't do it. Well, we should have had privateers, they would it had an incentive. And, of course, I don't think that George Bush really ever wanted to get a summer. After all, his family was very close to the bin Laden family, but we don't want to tell the American people that. Hey, we're out of time, David. God bless.
God bless. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Real soon. Bye-bye. All right. Well, I do hope our listeners have enjoyed the program. Let me remind you, we are having an all-day seminar on the 25th of October. We're going to be serving lunch, so you're going to have a reservation. It's $49.95 for the conference, and that pays to bring in the speakers from all over the country. We're having Ashley Moat come from Great Britain. We're having Catherine Albrecht come from Boston. We're having certainly Will Grigg coming down from the northern part of Idaho. So we're having to fly in people and put them up, and that's what your money goes for. We don't make any money on that part of it at all. And we hope you can come. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The conference will be held on the north shore of Monterey Bay at the beautiful Aptos Seascape Golf Course, where we hold it every year. And I hope you can make it and bring your friends. It's going to be a great conference. And we're going to give you the information you're going to need to survive in times like this. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get my material on the planned police state. We've got a great DVD and a great syllabus. The two should be purchased together. That's the planned police state. We've got a four-tape set on the military commission and goes into the background of all the things that are being done to prepare for a dictatorship in America. Who wants a dictatorship? Well, of course, you need then to get the DVD on the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission, a talk that Pat Wood gave last October, about 9 months ago, 10 months, 9 months ago. And you really want to hear that. And, of course, you want to hear my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness or read the book. You want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You want to get our talk on the Financial Armageddon, and the syllabus goes with that. Why? Because it tells you who created the financial meltdown, how they created the crisis, what their ultimate goal is, and, of course, what you're going to have to do to protect yourself in times like this. We actually have a talk I gave about 3 years ago called The Financial Tsunami, telling you what was going to come down. That's a DVD. There's a syllabus that goes with that, The Financial Tsunami. If you have not yet read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you need to get it. You need to get the book on the Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. The book Fiat Money Inflation in France, which tells what happened in France after the French Revolution when they created a fiat money system, and it's like deja vu all over again. We, of course, carry the book. The Coming Battle, written in 1899, about how the banks were going to take over our monetary system and our government. And we ask you, of course, to remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson introducing a new way to listen to GCN on your cell phone. If you own a smartphone like BlackBerry, iPhone, or Arnold G1, there's a free application called Flycast. Simply download, install, and within minutes, you'll be listening to your favorite GCN shows from the convenience of your phone. Go to GCNlive.com, download the Flycast application, and begin listening in a whole new way. The place to go to is GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com, application Flycast. We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains